Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you. congregation, we wish to begin to read from God's holy word, a psalm of the book of Psalms, Psalm 130. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may be spared by thee in the weeks that have gone by that we were separated from one another. And thou bringest us together again, and we may acknowledge thee. We are spared by thee in the week that is gone by. We are spared by thee in the past night, that we may be given the privilege to see the light of a new day. Oh, that thou may give us hearts to acknowledge thee for all thy benefits and thy blessings poured upon us day after day. But thy servant did sing, O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. Oh, that it may live also in the heart of each and every one of us, that it is thy Sabbath day, and that there may be rejoicing and a joy living in our hearts in this morning hour. when we have awakened to the light of this day, and may realize that it is the day of the Lord, wherein we may go up unto His house of prayer, wherein we may bow before Thy face, wherein we may seek and look and expect Thy blessing. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst hear our voice. O let Thine ear be attentive to the voice of our supplication. For Thou art high in Thy holy place. But Thou sayest that Thou dost dwell with them that are of a lowly spirit. O give us such a spirit in this morning hour, a spirit of humility, a spirit of contrition, a spirit of confession, a spirit that goes out after Thee, the true and the living God, with holy desires and longings. O, we have heard it out of Thy word, out of the depths, have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. And Thou knowest the depths of misery that we have to experience in the midst of this world, as some more than others. But there are those that do lay in the hospitals. There are those that do suffer diseases of the body. There are those that have tribulations of the mind or of the family. Those that do suffer afflictions and trials and persecutions here in this life. Though that we are spared from so much severity as that it is experienced in the midst of this world in which we do live. But such a depth of misery out of which a man does cry to Thee. But Lord, Thou knowest also the depths of that misery wherein Thy children can cry to Thee. For Thou knowest the banishment that they do sometimes experience. That it is so far from Thee. That they have no access to Thy throne of grace. And that they cannot give themselves those right desires moment by moment. That there is so much cleaving still to that which is here below. And so much love of the world still burning within their hearts. O Lord, then there is a grief that is known unto Thee by Thy church. Oh, that Thou may give a cry out of the depths, also in this morning hour, that Thou wouldst deliver from all this wretchedness, that Thou may give in this day a little feeling and believing of Thee, that Thou Thyself may dwell in our hearts, that Thou may revive Thy own work in the midst of the years, in wrath to remember mercy in the midst of Thy church. O Lord, Thou alone art able to bring Thy people back when they do wander in ways apart from Thee. And then it is easy to depart, but it is so impossible to come back again. O, do give those desires by renewal. For Thou dost say, I have somewhat against Thee. For Thou hast left Thy first love. O Lord, our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But wilt Thou show us mercy and take our guilt away? O, that Thou may give the knowledge of sin also in the life of young and old in the midst of us. Oh, that we may feel it with a sorrowing heart, that Thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Oh, Lord, who can give it unto themselves? And then it is so impossible from our own side. And Thou knowest the death that lives within our hearts by nature. And Thou sayest, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But bloweth not the wind where it listeth, O Lord. O that thou wouldst send it forth, thy Spirit, in this day, in this morning hour, that thou wouldst give life from the dead. When in this Sabbath day, as we do each and every Sabbath day, we may commemorate the resurrection of thy only begotten Son, thou who hast raised him from the dead. And so we do meet every Sabbath day again. Oh, that thou may give, that the fruits thereof also may be experienced, O Lord, in our hearts and in our congregation. For thou art able to give that same life unto our souls, and thou alone art able to do so. How shall we give it unto ourselves when we lie dead in sins and in trespasses? Oh, is there a man among us, O Lord, who is able to move his own heart, who is able to give one true tear within his eye? O thou art able. O do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Wilt thou not look upon thy dear and only begotten Son? Thou knowest all that he has accomplished, and thou hast said that it is enough, and that it is sufficient in that thou hast raised him from the dead. Oh, is it not an ocean of grace that thou wilt give in the midst of thy church? Oh, then we are but a little flock in the midst of this world. Oh, thou art able to take each and every one of us, O Lord, by heart and by hand. Thou didst not leave a hoof behind in the land of Egypt. Oh, we beseech thee then for young and old, for the littlest ones in our midst, that they may be given in the days of their childhood that tender fear as a Samuel in the days of his youth. And that thou wouldst speak also amongst us, Samuel, Samuel, oh, that they may hear and that they may be given to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, that thou may give it in the days of youth. When our young people are surrounded by all the wiles of the prince of darkness, when there is so much to draw them in this world, oh, then Satan's devices are so many, and they are so powerful as so inclining unto our sinful hearts. But art thou not almighty, O Lord? Art thou not mightier than the devil? Oh, couldst thou not show it also unto us, as fathers and as mothers, that we may be given to see the fruits in ourselves, but also in our dear children, that thou may remember us in the bringing up of our children, and give us the fear of thy name to live and to burn daily in our hearts, that we may walk a right example before our loved ones, and that we may be given so to storm daily thy throne of grace for the rising generation, and that out of them may come the future of thy church. Remember those who have become old. Thou knowest also all that lives within. O Lord, our heart that becomes harder, our heart that becomes colder. But there is no heart, and not a heart as hard as the nether millstone, and that thy powerful Spirit is not able to break in this day. O Lord, then we beseech thee for a descending forth of thy Holy Spirit. O, that we may feel something of his presence and his nearness in this hour, that he may go from pew to pew, that he may go from heart to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, do it for thy own name's sake. Wilt thou look upon all those that are not able to be among us? Thou knowest where that they are. Some are in their own homes. Some are in the nursing home, cared for by others. Wilt thou give a Sabbath day's blessing in the places where that thou hast driven them, and wilt thou be in those places unto them also as a little sanctuary, as a little tabernacle. Oh, that thou may supply for those who have no desire to come up unto thy house upon thy day. Oh, Lord, what maketh us to differ? It is only thee, and thou art able to make it so different in their hearts. Oh, we beseech thee then that they may be given to remember the days of their youth, and that thou may show them what that they have left, and that thou may give them those living desires, that they may be drawn by thy Spirit to come with weeping and with supplications. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. O speak the word only then, and then we shall be healed. Remember all thy truly sent servants, all those that go forth to bring thy word, the students also in this day. Thou knowest where each and every one is. Thou knowest the frailty of the bodies, of the minds. Thou knowest the impossibility from the side of men. The foolishness that is living in our own hearts as creatures of the dust. But oh, that thou wouldst fulfill what thou thyself hast spoken, and that thou thyself may give, that thy word may receive free course, and that it may go freely forth amidst the denomination and upon the mission fields and over the length and breadth of this whole world, even upon thy holy Sabbath day, that many may be drawn and come from the east and from the west to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Remember the beloved for the Father's sakes. Oh, their eyes are so veiled. Open their eyes, could it be also even in this thy day, that they may be given to see, and that they may be given to acknowledge who that thou art, the only begotten Son of God. Remember all the efforts that are put forth. Wilt thou look upon us as a nation and as a people? O thou knowest all the needs. Remember our rulers and our governors. Look upon us also in this morning hour. Lord, thou givest us to come back to our own flock. Oh, then we may acknowledge thee, but oh, do give thy Spirit unto us, and that it may not be the word of a man, but it may be that it may be the voice of God himself, and that may be heard in the midst of the congregation in this morning, and that it may be so received in the hearts of young and old, and that we may go from this place with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit. Oh, do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great and holy name. Glorify thyself. Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake only. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. The last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. Psalter 235, all the stanzas. Thank you. congregation, we ask your attention in this morning hour for Lord's Day 21. Lord's Day 21, and the 56th question and answer. What believest thou concerning in the forgiveness of sins? Answer that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, nor my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about the forgiveness of sins, which we wish to consider in three thoughts. First, the need for this forgiveness. Second, the existence of this forgiveness. And third, the meaning of this forgiveness. Thus, the forgiveness of sins. First, the need. Second, the existence. And third, the meaning of this forgiveness. We read, congregation, in Genesis 42, the 21st verse, "And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear." That is something. What made those brothers speak like that? Just at that time. What made those brothers think once again about Joseph? Just in those very moments, did they hear his name mentioned by that great viceroy? They did not. How long ago was it that they have now sold their brother into Egypt? That was 20 years ago. And now suddenly, in one moment, when his name that is not mentioned, then all of those brothers, they are suddenly going back 20 years in their life. Do your sins ever come back to you? Your guilt? We try to push it away. We try to go on. We fill our life, we fill our hearts with other things. But then it can be in just one moment. Sometimes in such an unexpected moment that our guilt that is welling up within our heart. And when? What were the circumstances of these brothers? Well, they are standing before an angry viceroy. They receive an accusation. They say we are honest men. And that viceroy says, "No, it is as I say, that you are dishonest men. You are spies. To see the nakedness of the land are ye come. And thus those brothers, they are in that moment standing before this angry ruler. And they are fearing for their own lives. That is now the day that their sin comes back to them. No one needs to mention that sin by name. That stinking corpse that is unearthed by their very own consciences. They say, therefore, is this distress come upon us? What does the Lord say to his people Israel? He says, be sure that your sins will find you out. Unforgiven sin is immortal. It never dies. It is like the bones that are buried in the earth. Then after such a very long time, with just a little bit of digging, then we can find those bones. They are still in existence. You clean your houses, mothers. Then you do such a very good job. Then it looks so very, very clean. Then you say, every spider that is destroyed. But then there comes a time, maybe just the next day, that you find that those spiders, they are not gone, but that they have only hid themselves behind the furniture, within the woodwork. Guilt that is like that. We think it is gone. We think it is buried for a long time. But suddenly we find ourselves staring at those filthy spiders. And they are sitting, as it were, directly in front of us. And then it is especially in times of trial, especially in times of affliction. We read of the woman of Zarephath, that her son got sick and died. And what does she say to the servant of the Lord? She says, art thou come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Thus we have, congregation, the way of fallen man. No, it is not just the brothers of Joseph. It is not just the widow of Zarephath, but it is each and every man that is living in this world, because he is created with a conscience, and that conscience that is speaking, it is telling him something. Does your conscience still speak, young people? Because the more times that you will step upon it, the quieter that conscience will become. And yet, those bones, they do not decay. And there will come a time that they are unearthed again. man knows that he has to be punished. Then there is a connection between sin and the punishment of sin. That is not just in those who are educated in the truth. No, that is also in the lives of the heathen. And that is why when they do what they consider to be wrong, or we say it the other way around, when they receive an affliction, then they are asking themselves, what have I done? Think of the Apostle Paul, when he is before those heathen, an island, and then there is a serpent. He comes out of the fire, and he is hanging on his hand. And what do those heathen say? They say, this man is a sinner. Vengeance suffereth him not to live. He is a wicked man. He is a murderer. Thus we have something of the remnant of that knowledge that is left to man after the fall. When the Lord said to man, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that man, he knows in his conscience that sin and the punishment of sin are things that go together. David, he said, remember not, O Lord, the sins of long ago. Do you ever pray that? Not you, young people, because you are not older yet. But maybe your father, maybe your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother. Maybe they are praying sometimes, like David prayed. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Will you remember that? Because they are coming back. And when we become older, then we experience that unforgiven guilt that is immortal, that it does not just go away. Does that ever cause you to lay awake in the night? Did you ever lose 1 hour of sleep in your life because of your sin? Maybe no one knows it. Perhaps that has been committed so secretly, hidden from father, from mother, hidden from boyfriend, from girlfriend, hidden from him, from her, that lies in your bosom. Maybe no one knows it. Maybe you are sitting sometimes, young people, in a large crowd of youth. There is no one in all that crowd that knows what you know. But it becomes for you sometimes that it is as if it is laying in the light of the day. Moses, he says, Lord, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our sins in the light of thy countenance. David says, if I would say that the darkness would cover me, then the night itself shall be light about me. Oh, does that ever shine so brightly upon your sin, upon your guilt? So it can be in this life already. So it can be even simply by the speaking of the conscience of a man. And if that is now so, how will that be when we are all standing before the judgment seat of Christ? Because we can read of the Apostle John that he has seen the Lord Jesus, who shall be in the last day the judge of heaven and of earth. And he has seen his eyes. And those eyes, he says, he saw them as if they were a flame of fire that is sufficient to penetrate into the secrets of each and every heart. We do not sin cheap, not openly, and not secretly. Because we read that God, he shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Reuben came back to that pit, and the pit was empty. The child was not in the pit. He said to his brothers, the child is not. And he says, and I, whither shall I go? That is now the common plight of man. Does not know where to go. Does not know what to do with his guilt, with his sin. What do those brothers do? Well, they will try to hide it. They will try to bury it. They take that coat. They kill a kid. And they dip that in the blood. And they send that back to Father. But what is now their life? What is now their life for 20 years? They lived with Father. And we read that Father mourned for his son every day. That was now what those brothers lived with for 20 long years. And then they had a secret. A secret that was living within their hearts for 20 long years. Yes, it was secret. But it actually was within them as an open guilt. How do we know that? Well, we have proof of that. When they are now standing before that viceroy, they begin to speak about these things. And it is coming back to them. Because it is something that could not be effectively destroyed. And that is now, congregation, how man is going over this world. Solomon, he says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Yes, brothers. Whoso confesseth them, whoso forsaketh them, but they cannot do it. They cannot do it. They cannot bring themselves to it. Who must do that? God must do it. And God will do it. God will do it in the heart, in the life of those of His own elect. That is now the work that He is going to perform. That is going to be a work of His mercy. That is going to be a work of His grace. That is the work of that greater Joseph. Thus man, he is lying there, and he is lying there in his need. In his need. With his guilt. From which he cannot deliver himself. But what does now our confession say? It says, I believe the forgiveness of sins. Our second thought, that is the existence of the forgiveness of sins. I believe the forgiveness of sins. Was that ever a wonder to you? I mean, was it ever a wonder to you that there is such a thing as the forgiveness of sins? Because this Lord's Day, that is not speaking about how that a man is justified before God. We hope to consider that soon out of Lord's Day 23. But this Lord's Day that is speaking about the existence or the fact that there is the forgiveness of sins. This Lord's Day is speaking about what that forgiveness of sins actually is. Forgiveness, that is something that is so foreign to the law, that is so foreign to the covenant of works, does not exist there. That covenant says, do this and thou shalt live. That covenant says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And forgiveness, that does not exist there. Did you ever experience that? Because when the Lord, by His Spirit, He is bringing a man to the end of the law, then he is experiencing that forgiveness does not exist in that law. Where only can that be found? That is only belonging to a different covenant. Forgiveness that belongs to the covenant of grace. That is actually what that covenant is all about. That is that the Lord will show mercy to those who do not deserve mercy. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Graciously impute to me forgiveness. What is that? Forgiveness that is a gracious act, that is by God, but also by man, that is founded on the goodwill of the one who will forgive, that he has a desire so to forgive. You will say that is inconsistent. That is inconsistent with the justice of God, because God, he is also a judge. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But it is not inconsistent. But we will not go into that today. Why? Because we have spoken about that already. If we go back to Lord's Day 6, Lord's Day 7, then it is speaking about that satisfaction of Christ. And it is speaking about how that God, he is able to show mercy even at the same time that he is upholding his justice. And our fathers, for one moment, they are mentioning that here also in this Lord's Day, in these few words when they say it is for the sake of Christ's satisfaction. Thus, they are mentioning once again that satisfaction of Christ and showing how that the Lord, he is forgiving the sin of his church in the way of justice, that it does not conflict with the very attributes, with the very being of God. But justice does not require that God should impute to Christ the sins of a man, nor does justice require that God would impute to a man the righteousness of Christ. That imputation that is taking place fully upon the free good pleasure of the Father. There is nothing to move the Father to exchange the sin of that people for the righteousness of Christ. There is nothing to move the Father to this gracious act except that which he can find within himself. Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. And when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, we read that those brothers were afraid. Why? Oh, their sin. Their sin. And they feared to be punished for their sin. But what do we read that Joseph said to them? He said, come near unto me. He said, now be not angry with yourselves that ye have sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So then it is not ye that have sent me hither, but God. And so we read, he says, come near to me. Then he had no desire to destroy his brethren. He had no desire to do unto his brethren as they had done unto him. But there was a love living in his heart. Why? For they were his brethren. There was a love that was living in his heart that they may be reconciled unto him, that he may live with them, that he may dwell with them, that he may commune with them. And then it is so true. Then it cannot be done outside of confession. Then it is true that cannot be done outside of repentance. But Joseph, he is drawing them unto this. How difficult that it is. But drawing them unto this for that one purpose, that he may forgive them. What do we read? God said of Israel, of his own people, he says their heart that was not right with him. Neither were they faithful to his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Oh, forgiveness that is decreed by God from the stillness of eternity. And why? Because the Lord, he is seeking his own honor. He is seeking his own glory. And a forgiven man, that is a singing man. He is not singing about himself, no. But that singing man, he is singing of the Lord. What awful sins do we not read of God's servant David? Sin of pride, sin of adultery, even the sin of murder. But David, by the forgiveness of the Lord, he became a singing man. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let us also sing. Psalter 284, 1 and 2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 284.
Thank you.
that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins. So our fathers, they speak in our third thought of the meaning of forgiveness, that God will no more remember my sins. Where does that come from? They do not speak, our fathers, out of their own mind, but they speak out of the holy word of God. We read that in Hebrews 8, that the Lord says that also of himself, that their sins and their iniquities, he says, I will remember no more. What does that now mean? Is that literal? That God will no longer be able to recall the sins of his people? That God will never bring the sins of his people forward, as humanly speaking, into his consciousness once again? That is not possible. And why not? Because God, he is unchangeable. And it is impossible for God to forget as we forget. We also read how that God does remember the sins of his people after that he has forgiven them. Just as we read about David, that the Lord said to him through his prophet, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. And yet, the child had to die. And the sword that would not depart from his house. And then it is impossible to carry out, humanly speaking, from the side of God, these chastisements in the life of David without returning unto the cause that is the sin of David. We also read how that the Lord would not have his own people to forget their own sin. We read in Deuteronomy 9, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokedst the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, he provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. Thus, the Lord, he will not forget. nor will he have his people to forget, because forgiveness that is not forgetting. To forget the sins of the church, that is to forget the mercy and the grace of Christ. That cannot be. That is also not in the life of man, in that forgiveness that is required of one another. Because forgetting, or forgiveness rather, forgiveness does not change the character of a wicked man, of a wicked boy, of a wicked girl. So you may, fathers and mothers, forgive your children, but not forget, because that child still needs to be dealt with as he is. And that is, as a child with a wicked heart, then he needs also to be chastised. He also needs to be kept. And that because he is a sinful person. What does it mean then when we forgive one another? Well, it means in the first place that we submit to the loss which has come upon us because of the transgression of our neighbor. And that means in the second place that we harbor no thoughts of revenge against our neighbor. But now we read in this Lord's Day especially about the forgiveness of God. And our fathers, then, they do not speak in a literal way when they say that the Lord will not remember their sins. But they speak in the end of this answer, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Therefore, when you look in the Kantakening, then it speaks of this verse in Hebrews 8, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Then our fathers, they say, that is in the judgment. In the judgment, they will be remembered for chastisement. They will be remembered for the good, for the welfare of the people. But they will never be brought forth by the Lord in judgment. It will never have weight before the Lord, that is, before the tribunal of God. That is now that sense that Micah says all their sins, the Lord, he has cast into the depth of the sea, that they will never come into that court again. And our fathers, they explain how that is not only the sin of that church, but they mention also the corrupt nature against which I have to struggle all my life long. Is that not a wonder? Do you know anything about your corrupt nature? Because that is more than the knowledge of our sin. It is one thing to know that I have sinned, but to know that I am a sinner, that is more. That is speaking about the knowledge, not only that I have sinned, but the knowledge that my very existence in this world is sin. good people, they also sometimes sin. But they remain good people. People that uphold their own righteousness. People that have an ability to do better. Though I have had many slips, though I have had many falls. But we have to become a sinner before God. That is, we need to be acquainted not only with our sin, but also with our corrupt nature. That we cannot cease from sin. That my existence is sin. That is what Paul complained of when he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And now it is such a wonder for that people when the Lord shows that there is forgiveness, not only for committed sin, but that there is forgiveness even for that corrupt nature. So powerful is that blood of Jesus Christ before that tribunal of God, that though I retain and I have to struggle against a wicked nature, a corrupt nature, all my life long, that I will never be condemned, therefore, by that tribunal of God. Congregation, the article of our confession, I believe the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean to you? Each and every one, for there is no one, young or old, children, we ask you this morning, what does that now mean to you? I believe the forgiveness of sins. Was that ever necessary for you? Is that now precious to you? Is there now a people who say, "And now, whither shall I go? Whither shall I go? Whither shall I go with my guilt? Whither shall I go with my whole life? Whither now shall I go with my corrupt nature?" Of course, there is a difference. Because the conscience speaks in every man in the world. That is common to all men. Many have no true repentance. Many fear, all fear, for the judgment. All fear for the punishment. All desire that it be taken away. But many have also a desire, when the punishment is taken away, that they may still go on in their sin. That I may still serve the world. That was so different with Bunyan's pilgrim. We read he had a burden. We cannot tell the difference in the beginning. Because what does he say? He says, "I do not want to die." Two children, You do not want to die. He says, I cannot stand before God. That is now common, even to the professor in religion. But later it is distinguished. When that first view of that deliverance in Christ may be experienced in his life. And what is that first thing that he says to Goodwill? Can you help me? Can you help me with this burden that is on my back? Thus, it was not enough for him that he may see that deliverance and that way. But sin was to him a burden in itself. He desired to be rid of it. And the time would come in the life of that man and in the life of his children. The Lord, he will take it away. James, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did the Lord Jesus say to that woman in adultery? Oh, she was taken, we read, in the very act. And the Lord Jesus, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Are they not precious words? Are they not precious words? Especially if they may be spoken by him who is to be our judge. What do we read of those brothers of Joseph after the death of their father Jacob? They send a messenger. They go to Joseph. And they say to him, forgive, we pray thee, the trespass of thy servants. Did he not do that before? They had heard it before, and they wanted to hear it again. Why? They were afraid still. They were afraid still for their life, and they wished to hear that once again from the mouth of their brother. And what do we read? We read that Joseph wept when they spake unto him. He wept. And he comforted them. And he spake kindly unto them. Oh, may there be those also in our midst who may move the bowels of that greater Joseph with your request that the Lord would forgive your sin and that the Lord would forgive your corrupt nature, because surely it is those to whom he will speak comfortably and kindly. Amen. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, who hast from all eternity decreed the forgiveness of sins, that thou mayest be glorified, that thou mayest be honored. O that thy dear Son may be so lifted up because of grace, mercy to those who are undeserving. O Lord, open our eyes, we beseech thee. Show us our sin. Give us a true sorrow, therefore. True, upright tears. Turn us away therefrom and cause us to see that great salvation which thou hast worked out from the beginning to the end. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us with desire. Thy house in this afternoon hour. Help thy servant that is to go before us. Endue him with much of thy spirit from on high. Feed us with food that is convenient for us, young and old. For Jesus' sake, amen. 364, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry to thee. Oh, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. All the stanzas of Psalter 364.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.